Let's continue in Ben Ish Chai. Parshat Noach, Halacha Yud Aleph. Last we spoke about the bracha that one makes on the lighting of the Nerot. Now we're going to talk about a bunch of people that are lighting together. Halacha Yud Aleph. Shnayim v'shalosh bale batim she'ochlim b'cheder echad. You have two or three families that are eating in one room. Kol echad al shulchano. Each one's lighting on his own. Umadlikim sham. So you have a bunch of families eating on their own tables. Each family has their own table and they're lighting there. Ya'amod echad mehem levarech u'ladlik v'yaseh kavana al hashar. One should stand up, make the bracha, and have in mind everyone else. Va'az yadliku asmach bracha zu. And then the rest of the people light, and they rely on this bracha that they hear. Al smach bracha shelo, the bracha that this one person made, everybody else relies on him. Meaning they do not go ahead and make another bracha. Ve'im kvar kadam echad uberech vehedlik. Let's say one person already went ahead and made a bracha. Vashar lo shamu birchato, and the rest did not hear his bracha. So only he lit, only he made a bracha. Everybody came in, the candle was already lit, and he had already made a bracha. What do you do? Lo yivarchu al nerot shelahem b'shem u'malchut. They cannot go ahead and make a bracha of ladlik ner shel Shabbat with the name of the Almighty. Why is this so? Because according to the Sfaradim, as we said, only one person makes a bracha in that place. Ela yivarchu bli shem u'malchut. But rather, what should they do? They make the bracha without the mention of the name of the Almighty, and without saying Melech HaOlam, or they would say Baruch Asher Kedishanu Mitzvah V'Tzivanu Ladlik Ner Shel Shabbat. That's what they would say in the bracha. If they had already came into a situation where someone already lit, they cannot say the bracha with the name of the Almighty. So all they would say is Baruch Asher Kedishanu Mutzav Tzivanu Ladlik Ner Shabbat. They would leave out Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam. Elei Yivarchu Bli Shem Malchut V'Yahareru Shem Malchut Bilvavam. Mipnei De'ika Plukta. Since there's a machloket b'zeh, Usafek Machlot La'akel. We know that there's a machloket in regards to if one or more people can light in the same place with the bracha, and the derech, the way of psak that Sfaradim take is only one can make a bracha. Therefore, we would not say bracha in this situation. וכל זה אם אוכלים וישנים שם באותו החדר. All this is all true when they're eating and when they're sleeping in that room. אבל אם רק אוכלים שם, let's say the case is different, that they're merely eating there. וישנים כל אחד בחדר בפני עצמו, and each one is sleeping in his own room. So they're eating in one room and they're sleeping in another room. Very similar to hotel. Yadliku ashar kol echad b'makom shena v'yivarech. Every person makes a bracha in the place where they are sleeping. Every family would make a bracha in the place where they're sleeping, and they make a bracha and they light there, and not in the place where they're eating. V'im yirtze la'adlik b'makom achila, and if a person wants to go ahead and proceed to light in the place where they're eating, gam ken yadlik b'lo bracha. You could also light there without a bracha. ורק צריך להניח שמן, you have to put enough oil, בנר שמדליק במקום שינה. You have to put enough oil, says the Ben Ish Chai, very important, to put enough oil in the place where you're sleeping, that there should be so much oil that when you come back after the meal, you should be able to enjoy from the light. שיספיק עד זמן שיעבור לישון שם. So you're able to enjoy from it when you come back to sleep. So you're lighting before Shabbat, you're putting a lot of oils, that when you come back, it continues to light. ואיש ואשתו, שיש להם בן נשוי. A man and a woman that have a married son. והחמות מדלקת ומברכת במקום השולחן. The mother-in-law proceeds to light in the table, the place of the table. We said originally, in terms of when one's lighting in the house, the best place to light is where you're eating. אז תדליק קלטה במקום שינה שלה ותברך שם. The daughter-in-law proceeds to light in the room where they're sleeping. So as we've mentioned before, a couple who's going to be a guest by someone else, they would light in the room that they're sleeping. If they can't light in the room where they're sleeping, because it's not safe, so they could light in the room with the hostess. But they would not make a bracha there. ורק תזהר להניח שמן שיספיק עד עת השינה. The only point is that they should make sure that there's going to be enough oil that it should last until when they sleep. ואם תרצה הקלה להדליק במקום השולחן, if the daughter-in-law wants to lighten the place of the table, she can lighten the room, לא תברך. She cannot make a ברכה. מאחר דחמותה, הדליקה כבר וברכה. Since her daughter, her mother-in-law had already lit there, and she cannot proceed to make a ברכה. The source for this halakha is the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Reish Samech Gimel, Seif Vav and Seif Chet. That's what the Shulchan Aruch talks about these halakhot. Halakha Yud Bet, Suma, a blind person. Yechola Lahadlik, one who is blind can make a bracha ulevarech and can make a bracha and light on Ner Shel Shabbat, on the candles of Shabbat. Why is this so? Bipnei Hushuk Mikol Makom. אם יש לה בעל פיקח, if she does have a husband that can see, that is not blind, נכון שהוא יברך וידליק. It is proper that the husband who could see should make the bracha and light. Nevertheless, again, a blind person who wants to light definitely can light and definitely can make a bracha. The only reason the Ben Ish Chai is saying this is because there are opinions that say it's better for a person who could see to light. But a person who wants to light and they're blind definitely can. What are they lighting on? Because they are enjoying from the light. Meaning, they are not necessarily seeing the light, but they are in the vicinity of people. They're in a house where there's light on Shabbat, and the whole house is able to function properly, so they definitely do have what to make a bracha on. The source for this is the Magen Avraham in Siman Reish Samech Gimel, Sif Katan Tet. Halakha Yud Gimel. It's a very interesting halakha, because we'll see how the Bet Yosef regards this one. Asur ligah b'ner shel Shabbat shebirchu alav, achar shudlak. One is not permitted to touch the candle after they made a bracha on it. Why is this so? Mipnei shuktza lemitzvato. Because it is designated for its mitzvah. Meaning, we set it aside for the mitzvah. You lit the candles, it's set aside for the mitzvah. Afal pi shezeh anogea lo kibel Shabbat adayin. Even though the one who's touching it has not accepted Shabbat. It's not a concept of the regular muktzah that we're thinking of. It's a concept that you had set aside these candles for a mitzvah. They have now no right to be used for anything else. They can't even be tampered with. The mutala sod malacha. And this person who you would want to touch it is allowed to do malacha. Nevertheless, he's not permitted. Vafilu nigi'a belon nidnud. Asul. Even to touch the candles without shaking them or moving them, one should not do. ולכן אסור להוסיף בו שמן. You're not allowed to add oil into it. מיהו? מותר להדליק פתילה משלהבת דנר שבת, לצורך שבת. One is permitted, for example, after you light the candles, to light another candle from the flame. Because in that instance, says the Ben Ish Chai, כיוון דאינו נוגע בפתילה של נר שבת. Because in that instance, you're not touching the actual wick or the actual candle. You're touching the flame. And the flame is not necessarily something that's hukta l'mitzvato. So if you want to light another candle from the Friday night candles, obviously we're talking about it's not Shabbat yet. It's before Shkia. If you want to light another candle from the Friday night candles, you can proceed to light it from the flame and light a different candle. So long as you don't move the candles and you don't move them around. Now, the reason I said this is an interesting halakha, because the source for this halakha is the Bet Yosef in Siman Reish Samech Gimel. And the Bet Yosef writes as follows: Ve'eni yode atam lama mutarim ba'alacha lo yumutarim liga b'ner shudlak l'shem Shabbat. The Bet Yosef says, I don't know reason of why someone who is not accepted Shabbat on them and is permitted to do melacha is not allowed to tamper with the candles. In the Bet Yosef, he says this. He says, I don't understand why it would be asur. What's the problem? Now, what would you think he would be posek in the Shulchan Aruch that you're allowed to tamper with it, right? Nevertheless, in Shulchan Aruch Siman Reish Samech Gimel Sif Yud Dalet, this is Lashon. He brought the Shita in B'Shem Yesh Omrim. And this is Lashon. Yesh Omrim, Shoto Ner Sheudlak L'Shem Shabbat, Asur Ligabo, Ulosif Shemen, Vafilu Im Kiba Asur Letatlo. He brought this opinion and said, he only brings one opinion in regards to this. There are those opinions who say that you cannot tamper with it. So in the Bet Yosef, he says, I don't understand why you shouldn't be able to tamper with it. But when it comes to his final Psak Halacha, in the Shulchan Aruch, he only brings the opinion that says, there are those opinions that say you cannot tamper with it. Stating clearly that his opinion is, even though I don't understand this 100%, meaning I think, according to me, you should be able to tamper with it, but his final psak in the Shulchan Aruch is you cannot touch it. You cannot tamper with it. Because he only brings it b'shem yesh amim. Doesn't bring any other arguing opinions on it. So you see, it does happen in the poskim. It does appear that sometimes the poskim will bring a certain concept. They won't necessarily agree with it, but doesn't mean that they will be posek against it, because they don't necessarily have strong enough proof, so to speak, to be posek against it. This is a very interesting case. In the Bet Yosef, he says one thing, and then Shulchan Aruch, he writes in a more machmir shita. Let's proceed to Halacha Yudalet. Yadliku ner Shabbat bimkom anachatam. One should light the candles of Shabbat in the place where they're going to stay. Meaning, don't move it around. Don't light it in one corner and then move it to another corner. Even if the one that's moving it around, who nochri, is a Gentile. He doesn't have a problem with mukzeh. Meaning, a Gentile is obviously not commanded in mukzeh. You might think that you could tell him to move it around. No, you cannot tell him to move it around. You can't tell him to do anything in this regard. Says the Ben Ish Chai, the reason that you're not letting him move around the candles is because of the fact that if you do move them around, we're not going to know that you're doing it for the sake of Shabbat. When you light them and you keep them stationary, that is a clear expression of the fact that you're only lighting it for Shabbat. But if you start moving around, then it's not clear you lit it for the honor of Shabbat. You're doing it for your own comfort. You should also not light them while somebody's holding them. And how much more so you shouldn't light them outside of the house. And then bring them into the house. Even if the woman chola is not feeling well, she should make a very strong effort to light the candles in the place where they're going to stay. So even if one is not feeling well, they should light the candles in the place where they're going to stay. If they're not feeling well, and they're not even able to walk up to where the candles should be, then they can make a shliach, a messenger, say, appoint someone to light the candles for them. Halacha tedvav, yadliku nerot Shabbat. Rov hayotze min haptila. Now this halacha is a halacha in Shulchan Aruch that you should light rov hayotze min haptila. Meaning, when you light the candle, it's important to keep your hand by the fire until you light the majority of the wick. Don't just light the edge of it and leave. In Neot Chanukah is the same concept. When you light the wick, make sure that you keep your hand by the wick so that you are lighting the majority of the wick, lighting the whole thing. You should try and light, just keep it there so that the whole thing catches on, not just the edge of it, and you move to the next one. Why is this so, says Ibn Ish Chai? Shim lo yadlik el rosh aptila, if you only light the edge of it, v'yisalek yado mimena, and then you will remove your hand from it, chashiv ki'ilu dalka me'eleha, because then it would be considered as if it lit on its own. Meaning, you lit the edge, and then it proceeded to light on its own. You didn't create a situation where you started sucking up the oil with the wick. You just lit the edge, and then it just took fire on its own. So you should make sure to keep your hand there for a long enough time that you're lighting the majority of the wick. Ve'no mekayem mitzvah b'hadlaka, and you're not fulfilling your mitzvah, your chiyuv, by lighting it. And that was also the halacha in regards to the candles of the Beit HaMikdash. Menishchai says you also have to be cautious in regards to this as well in regards to Nerot Chanukah. You have to make sure that you are covering the children that are dressed tzanua b'fnei Nerot Shabbat sheberchu aleihem. The children shouldn't walk around not tzanua, meaning without diapers or something to that extent, in front of Nerot Shabbat, because it's not kavod to this mitzvah. Now the next halacha, we're not going to read it inside, but we are going to talk about a halacha that's nogeh to it. The halacha Tet Zayin talks about a certain type of fat that the Ben Ish Chai is talking about, whether you can use it for candle lighting. This is not so widespread by us. So we are going to talk about different other types of lighting. What we're going to talk about is electricity. can you light Shabbat candles with electricity, meaning a light bulb or fluorescent or something to that extent? So one of the sources for this halakha is actually Gemara and Tanit. The Gemara talks about Rabbi Chana ben Dosa and says as follows: Chaze lebarte dahave atziva. He saw his daughter that was very sad. Rabbi Chana ben Dosa came home on Friday night and he saw his daughter was very sad. Amar la biti, my daughter, lemay atziva. It's Tanit chafei amud aleph. Why are you sad? Amar lei, she said to him, kli shel chometz, the jar of vinegar, nitchalefli bekli shel shemen, switched with the jar of oil. Vidlakti mimeno, and I lit the Friday night candles with vinegar. Instead of lighting with oil, I lit it with vinegar. Ol Shabbat. And this is a mistake I made. So she was all sad, she made a mistake. Amar la biti, ma'ich patlach. He says to her, why are you worried? Why does that concern you? Misha amar la shemen vidlok, hu yomar la chometz vidlok. He who told, meaning the Almighty who decreed that oil should light, will decree that vinegar should light. Meaning, he was telling her, she was all sad because she proceeded to light. She was all sad because she proceeded to light the nerot with vinegar. And her father came home and said, you don't have to be scared. There's nothing for you to worry about. You lit with vinegar, it's okay. HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictates the forces of nature as well. And you don't have to be scared. He decreed that oil will light. He's going to decree that vinegar light. Why should it be that the molecular makeup of oil lights? Who says that should be? Maybe grapefruit juice should light. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose that oil would light and grapefruit juice won't light. Same thing in regards to vinegar. So the Gemara says, Tana, haya dolek ve'olech kol hayom kulo. Not only did it light the vinegar that Shabbat, but it lit the whole entire Shabbat. Ad sheviyu meno or lehavdala. Until it lasted so long that on Motzei Shabbat, they were able to use it for Havdalah as well. That's the miracle that the Almighty did. So first of all, obviously, in regards to a Hashkafic sense, Mibchanat Hashkafa, we attain this concept that it's important for one to ingrain into themselves this whole inyan that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running nature 100%. Meaning the reason things happen in nature is only because the Almighty dictated so. Not necessarily because it's just a matter of coincidence. That's not the reason that something happens. It's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated that oil should light and vinegar shouldn't light. So it's no more a miracle that vinegar lights than when oil lights. But in terms of halakha, the poskim bring this down in regards to lighting from a electricity. The question is, can that be used as a candle? So you see from this Gemara that even though she didn't light with oil, she lit with vinegar, she was still Yotzei Dechova. She still fulfilled her responsibility and she was Mekayem the Mitzvah of Hadlakat Nerot of Shabbat. And the main chiyuv is that what you're lighting with should light. There are those that are machmir. Rabbi Ben Zion Chaya Uziel in Shut Mishpatei Uziel brings down that it's not preferable to light with electricity. He says that because you can't necessarily rely on it, it might burn out or the electricity might stop. And therefore he's posek that you cannot light with electricity. Now Chama Vadia has a tshuva in Yabia Omer Chelek Tet. He writes it in numerous places. Siman Kuf Chet. And he writes that today the reality has changed and you can very much rely on electricity. You're not really concerned that it's going to go out in the middle. Rav Shlomo Zalman Oelbach is quoted, brought down in Shmirat Shabbat Kilchata as well, that he's matir to light with electricity. So Chacham Vadia's last words on this are that in a pressing situation, meaning let's say one is in a hotel and they don't let you light with oil in your room or with wax in your regular candles in your room, you can use in that situation an electric light. So in a pressing situation, one can rely on it with making a bracha. You make a bracha, and you turn on the switch, and that's considered lighting for Nerot Shabbat. Nevertheless, if you do have another option, Rav Vadia brings down that it's good to be choshesh for those shitot that hold that you're not fulfilling your mitzvah with it, so you should only use this as a backup. Meaning you don't have what to light with, or they don't let you light with it, then you could rely on the electricity as being yotzei dechova for your Nerot Shabbat. Halakha Yud Zayin. Let's continue to see Halakha Yud Zayin. Im nimtza achbar met betoch kad hashemen. Let's say one finds a dead rat in the jar, in the barrel of oil. Af al pi sheyesh 60 keneged achbar, even though there is 60 times more oil than the rat, meaning there's a concept of batel b'shishim. When you have something that is 60 times greater than another object, it nullifies the other object. So you would think that here as well, if you have 60 times more oil than the achbar, than the object that is disgusting that fell into your oil, that you can't use that oil, that you can use that oil. Nevertheless, im oto hashemen ma'us la'achila, if you would not eat that oil, nifsad adlakat nerot Shabbat. You cannot use that oil as well for lighting the candles of Shabbat. So if that oil becomes nullified from using it for food, so it's disgusting in your eyes, in a similar vein, you're not permitted to use it for adlakat nerot. Shemvachim alem. Why is this so? Mishum hakriveu na lepchatecha. This is a pasuk in Malachi, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving reproof to Am Yisrael. They're putting on the Mizbeach korbanot. They're putting sacrifices, but they're blind, and they have pugamim, they have blemishes. So the Kohanim are saying, what are we doing wrong? We're bringing korban. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Yikriveu na lepchatecha, you should present it to your governor. You can give it to your people, not to me. Because this is not something that's ra'ui for you. You just want to get rid of it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I don't want your objects that are given in that fashion. When you give something to the Almighty, He has not only, it's not just the physical aspect of giving, but it's everything that surrounds it, what it represents and how much you count to it. For example, there's a famous story that there was a lady who went to Shi'ul. And in Shi'ul, she heard about the greatness and the importance of giving korbanot. She came home to her husband, and she said, you know, I really would like to give a korban to the Almighty. I'd really like to give a sacrifice. And he said, look, there's nothing we could do. There's no Beit Mikdash. There's nothing we could do. She said, I have a great idea. They didn't have children. They didn't have anybody or any connection to anything other than this concept. She said, let's bake bread and put it in the Aron HaKodesh, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will eat it. That's what she did. She buys the best flour. It was really an effort for them. They weren't a rich couple. She buys the best flour, and they get water, and everything's clean, and they make sure that whatever they could do is proper, and they do a frashat chalal. They make this wondrous bread. And he takes this loaf of bread, goes to the Bet Knesset, and puts it in the Aron HaKodesh. He comes back, he tells his wife, I opened the Aron HaKodesh, there was nobody there, I put it in, it's a sacrifice for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's going to eat it from the Aron HaKodesh. The next day, he wakes up on Shabbat morning, the bread's gone. So he says to his wife, you see, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the bread. And they continue doing this every Shabbat. Bake the bread, it's a whole ritual by them. This is their connection, this is what they're giving. Mamash as a korban, every Friday they put in the bread. It continues for quite a while. Once, the Rav of the Bet Knesset is in the Bet Knesset, and he sees this person, simple person, who walks in with a loaf of bread, opens the Aron HaKodesh, puts it inside. The Rav says to him, what are you doing? He goes, what do you mean what I'm doing? I'm giving a korban to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He goes, korban to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yeah, you'll see, he'll take it. Tomorrow morning, it's going to be gone. The Rav says, you're desecrating this, and you're desecrating that, you can't do this, you can't do that. You can't do this anymore. So he goes over to his wife, and he's all sad, and his wife says, you know, we can't do this anymore. This is all that we were able to do. And he stopped doing it. Now the Rav was curious, Lemaaseh, what happened to the bread? So the Rav searches around and he realized that there was a poor person who would wait every Friday, see this guy bring in a loaf of bread, wait for him to leave the Beit Knesset and snatch it. And that's what happened. That night, in a dream, they came up to this Rav and they told him, you should know that you're now Chayav Mita. You're liable for death. He said, why? What did I do? He said, that korban, that bread that that man and lady brought in front of the Almighty was so treasured by HaKadosh Baruch Hu that it's mamash as if you were mevatel korban. Why is this? Because they gave whatever they could give. They gave from their best. They didn't know. They tried their best. It's just like when a lot of times I remember a student started praying. So as it is, people who are necessarily taking upon themselves tefillah, they have a lot of kavanah and they're very excited about it and they really get into it and takes them a long time as it is. But this student was really pushing it like really far. Like a normal amidah would take whatever it is, 5-10 minutes. He was praying for like 45. Like really just standing there. So he came up to me and you know, he was wondering how we could pray so fast. I said, what do you mean? You know, you have certain, as much covenant as you can. He said, no, I don't understand how you could physically finish everything. I said, well, what are you praying exactly? So he showed me the Amidah. So he starts from Hashem Sfatai Tiftach, continues in the Amidah, continues throughout the whole way, says Kedusha on his own, says Ya'alev Yavo, Rosh Chodesh, Pesach, says Ala Nisim, Chanukah and Purim. The whole thing. He was praying the whole thing. But I'm assured that his tefillot were accepted in front of the Almighty. It was such done with such tmimut. It's like when you have a baby. One has a baby and the baby starts talking. Right? The baby starts mumbling and says something that sounds like Abba or Ima. You know, Abba, Abba. So right away they give the baby a candy. And they call all the parents. So it's a whole big meeting. Everybody comes, sits on the couch. And says, watch, look, he's going to say Abba again. Watch, everybody, look. Abba, Abba. Everybody's so excited. You know, they call Chutz La'aretz. They call America. They record him. They send it. Look, he's going to say it. Look, you know, he's saying Ima now. Imagine, it's beloved when a baby does that. Imagine he does that when he's 25 years old. He's 25 and he still continues, Abba, Abba. Nobody's going to pay attention to him. Because like a person who's beginning or Baal Tshuva or Bichlal is mamash like considered like a baby in the eyes of the Almighty. What he does is beloved. So here the Ben Ish Chai is telling us that the oil has to be respectful. It's not just a matter of lighting oil, it has to be respectful in the eyes of the Almighty. Avan mutar adliko b'shar mekomot shetzrich lo ner beher. You cannot use these candles for Shabbat, but you can use them for other places you need light. Meaning, you don't make a bracha on these candles, but in another room, if you need light, you can use it. Ve'katuv b'sefer Torah Lishma, and it's brought down in a book called Torah Lishma. Who is Torah Lishma? This is the Ben Ish Chai himself. He wrote a book called Torah Lishma, Torah for the sake of heaven. He didn't write his name in there. The author of it is supposed to be Rav Yitzchak Kuchli. And really, it's the Ben Ish Chai. Im yiniach shemen zayit, or shemen mshum sumin, if you put this olive oil, or this other shemen, שהם ראויים לאכילה, that they can be eaten, תחת המיטה, you put oil under your bed, שורה עליהם רוח רעה, ונפסלים לאכילה. When you put oil under your bed, רוח רעה, meaning, it becomes tame, and it becomes נפסל לאכילה, you cannot eat it, ולכן, therefore, נפסלים להדליק נר שבת. You cannot use them for candle lighting as well. ונר חנוכה משום מקריבהו לפחתך, because of this concept of you give it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want something that's not ra'ui la'achila, it has to be proper. Ma'achal de'ma'is la'adam ba'achila. Since a person can't eat it, therefore you can't light with it as well. Aval, shemen mar. If you're going to tell me if you only can light candles if you can eat it, so what about a shemen, an oil, that's mar, it's very bitter, you can't eat that as well. Maybe you would think that you can't light with that. She'eno ra'ui la'achila, that you cannot eat it because of its bitterness. Eno shore alav ruach ra'ah. U'mutar la'adliko b'ner Shabbat v'ner Chanukah. You are allowed to light candles with oil that was placed under the bed. That's very, very bitter.